My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hellfire. Who's that talking about? None other than God himself. He's the one who has the power to do that. And so as a disciple, I learn to respect and reverence and fear Almighty God. He's the one who's from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90 verse 6 teaches us. He's the one who created the world by the spoken word. In the beginning, God said, and it was. And he's the one on the final day who will separate the good and the evil. Matthew 25, Jesus shows that great separation. Some were cast into outer darkness, some into eternal life because of the way that they live. And so don't just fear the person who might can harm the body. Fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hellfire. Jesus said in Hebrews 13, or Paul did, the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 13, verse 5, that we must not fear the one who can only destroy the body. We've got to learn to trust in God. And the question is asked, what can man do to me? If God is for us, who can be against us? Ask yourself that. If God's on your side, what can man really do to you? What is man that you're mindful of him? The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 8. And God was so mindful of us that he cared for us and given us a place to go after this life. And so we must learn who to fear. The world does not shape the way I think. I fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hellfire. Then there's a third principle I want you to look at. Notice in verse 27, as a disciple of Christ, not only must I learn my place, not only must I learn who to fear, I must learn that I am a herald of the truth. Look at what Jesus says in verse 27. On the heels of not fearing, notice he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. The idea is that someone maybe told you this in the dark. They didn't want everybody to hear it. And so you get out in the light and tell everybody. Somebody whispered it in your ear. You stand on the rooftop and shout it. This is the idea that Christians are not afraid to spread the message of Jesus Christ. As a disciple of Christ, you cannot be the Lord's silent partner. You cannot. You cannot be a good disciple of Jesus and never say anything to anyone about God and His Word. The things that some people claim that we ought not to say, Christians ought to be willing to say those things and to teach what the Bible says. We ought to be willing to take the gospel to our friends and neighbors without prejudice. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Ask yourself this morning, as a disciple, are you ashamed to tell people about Jesus? Are you afraid of what they might say? Would you rather just let somebody else do it? If so, then that's not the attitude that a disciple, a true disciple, ought to have. Jesus said you ought to stand on the housetop and proclaim it. Things you hear in the dark, you ought to speak in the light. And so as Christians, we learn the disciple must say something about his master. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 18, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Mark 16, verse 15, he said the same thing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's the idea that our goal is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Paul said in Colossians 1:24, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so as a disciple, I have got to tell others about the Master, about the one whom I learned from. Why would you not want to do that? If the Master taught you the best way to live, and if he healed you of your greatest disease, wouldn't you want to share that with somebody? Isn't that what Jesus has done? He's taught us the best life, bring peace to us, and live with Him for eternity. He's taught us how to be cured from sin and how to go to heaven. Why would you want to hold on to that and not tell somebody? These are the principles that make a real disciple. Look back in Matthew chapter 10, and I want you to notice what Jesus says next. Matthew chapter 10, in verses 29 through 31, Jesus teaches us that a disciple must learn his worth. As disciples of Christ, you and I have a great worth to God Himself. We're of great value to God. Notice verse 29. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not therefore fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. You see a sparrow flying. It's a beautiful thing to see birds flying, and we wonder and amaze at how they do that. and yet not one of those little sparrows falls to the ground and God doesn't know about it. Some of the what we think of maybe as the lower part of God's creation. Something happens to that bird and God knows about it. That bird doesn't have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere, yet God still cares for it. Jesus' point is, you're of more value than they. Look what he says again in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. This shows the great care and value we have to God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now I've got to confess, for some of you, that'd be an easier task for God to do. No doubt about it. But here's the point. God knows to the point of even how many hairs are on our head. Language is used in such a way to show that even the most finite things, even the smallest things we might think of, like how many hairs are on my head, God knows that much about me. And it teaches us that we're of great value to God Himself. There are a lot of people in this world who have low self-esteem, who don't think much about themselves. Know this today, that if you're a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus, you are of great worth to God. You're worth something. You're valuable in God's kingdom. How valuable? Think about it in these terms. You're so valuable to God that He sent His own Son to die for you. God gave His Son not just for the world, but put your name in there. God gave His Son for me. That's how valuable you are. Jesus said, or Paul said in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone dare die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's your value. God loved you and thought of you so much that He sent His only unique Son to die for us. Think of what Jesus had to go through. The trial, the suffering, the trip up Golgotha, being nailed to a tree and actually dying. Did you know Jesus died for me? And He died for you. And that's the great worth you have to God. Now you say, why is that important to being a good disciple of Jesus? Friends, if you go around thinking you're not worth anything, you'll never amount to anything. But as a disciple of Christ, if you realize that you're of great value to God, so much so that He sent His Son to die for you, then maybe it'll motivate us to do something for the One who made us valuable to Him. And thus, we've got to realize and understand the great value that we have in God's sight. Look a little further in Matthew chapter 10. And I want you to notice in verses 32 and 33 that to be a disciple of Christ, I must continually confess Him before men. Look at the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now we use this passage a lot to talk about the plan of salvation. And no doubt confession is a step, according to Romans 10 verse 10. But the principle here is not just a one-time confessing. It is a lifestyle of continually confessing Jesus. What's a disciple like? It's one who's by his life. Every moment you look at them, confesses by his lifestyle and his words that he is a disciple of Christ. This places a high value on the Christian example. You know, as I think about the principle of life and continually confessing Christ, I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, that Paul said of certain Christians that they were an epistle written and read by all men, read by all men. Now think about that. Let me put it in this type of language for you. Listen real carefully. You may be the only Bible some people ever read. If that's the case, what would it say about Christ? There are people who never pick up the Bible. There are people who never go to church. There are people who really don't have religious tendency, but they know you're a Christian. And if they never read the Bible and they know you're a Christian, you may be the only source for the Bible they ever read. If so, would your life confess Jesus Christ? This is what Jesus is talking about by the way you live. Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We must be a good example to those who are around us. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and faith and spirit and in purity. In every way of life, I have got to continually confess Jesus. And so ask yourself, what does my life say about Christ? Does it say anything? some of us would be silent in that area. Some of us might say the wrong things. You see, if you do things that are not right and you claim to be a Christian, what does that say about confessing Christ? It does the opposite of good. It shows bad for the name of Christ. Imagine someone knows you're a Christian and they see you out at the liquor store buying a six-pack of beer. What does that say about Christianity and your example for Christ? Or someone hears you on the job at work and you're telling a dirty joke. What in the world does that say about you being a Christian? Here's you talk in such a way that you use curse words. Does that confess Christ? Jesus is going to say, no, I don't know Him. He didn't confess me, and I sure don't know Him. And thus, we must be careful as a disciple of Christ by the way we live to continually show by our lifestyle that we claim to be Christians. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to wear around a badge, or you've got to wear a cross, or you've got to wear a big sign that says, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. That's not what we're talking about. But by your moral actions, by the way you speak, you know what I'm talking about. You can be around someone less than a minute, probably know whether they claim to be a Christian or not. The same ought to be true for us, except it ought to be proved quicker than that. People should be able to immediately identify us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus teaches us to be a disciple of His. We must continually confess Him before men. Not only must we do this with our mouth, but by our lifestyle. Notice what Jesus teaches us in verse 38. I think this is pretty much the same principle about confessing Christ by our lifestyle. Jesus says, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. There's the idea. Follow Christ, to confess Christ every day. You've got to start over again, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we're told to do that on a daily basis. And so confess Christ every day by the way you live. Look in Matthew 10, verse 37. I believe we learn another principle of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, and that is very clearly, Christ, we must love Christ first. Look in verse 37. Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus, even above your wife or your husband, even above your children, you must love God and His principles first. I've seen many times in Christian families that one of the reasons things may go wrong, one of the reasons people may change the way they believe, is because something happened with the wife or something happened with the children and they decided to follow the children more than God. Friends, we have got to love God first and foremost above anything else. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All else, food, shelter, and clothing, it'll be provided for you. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.